We ended off last time discussing what the practical shear of a gris is, a gris ode. And the general practice, as we said in America, is that we assume a penny, and the size of a penny is the size of a gris, 19 millimeters, maybe grams to say a nickel, 20 millimeters, but generally common practice among poskim in the U.S. is to use a penny as the shear of a gris for purposes of Kulas Summit. Rav Vosner discusses what happens, assuming, as we discussed, that the general consensus of poskim is that the ability to be tola and macholas is working with the gris of the Chazal, the macholas shel zmanehem, even if it doesn't correspond to a contemporary macholas, because of the general orientation, the way we presented it, that the carve-out, the kula of Pachos Mikigris Va'od, is a absolute carve-out, irrespective of whether you can reasonably be tola in any specific scenario. It's not a generic tliya, but it's a absolute carve-out. So Rav Vosner raises the question, what if a person wants to be makron himself? That it's true that there is kulas ksamim, but I know that it very likely came in Bissara, where else would it come from? So let's say a husband wants to be machmir to treat a kesem pachas mikigris l'chumra. So he quotes, this is in the Shira Shevet Levi, he quotes Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Simen Kuf Mem Tes. Chasam Sofer Kuf Mem Tes Yerdeya. His Shaila was a related Shaila, and Eishes Chaver, who found a Mare Tahor, a Mare that had a certain reddish appearance, but the Posei Paskin that it was a Mare Tahor. Means it could have gone either way, it was a questionable shade, and the Posei Paskin that the woman was Tahora Levaila, that it was a Mare Tahor. And the husband wanted to be machmir on himself to treat her as Timea. So says the Chasam Sofer, Kevin Chakain Darkin Shall Prushim Shav Yisrael Lizar Midar Shahar Ba Chacham. So there is a certain Mila, it's true in context of Isra Heter, as even if you paskin that a chicken is okay, but if there's a Shaila, so under certain circumstances it may be appropriate or acceptable to be Machmir anyway, if it's chicken Shahar B'Chacham. So there's such a notion to be Nizir from Darvish Shahar B'Chacham. So you're right, says the Chazan Sofer, Nehi de Be'esan Esuin, Loyam Misnahi Gadayim B'Precious, Rakishar Talmidei Chachamim. So this particular Shoel, so when he got married, he wasn't such a parish. He was a normal, run-of-the-mill, average Talmid Chacham. And you wouldn't expect of such a person that he should have this hanhaga of being extra machmir on a amara with the Chacham Paskin Lekula. So it says the Chacham Sofer, even though that was the case, that when they got married, he wasn't at that level. Lomasi Lemita Lo Kablis Alai, the woman can't claim that when I married him, I didn't intend that he should be such a chassid in a parish. That, no, even if she married a run-of-the-mill average guy, but people have aspirations, and even an average Talmid Chacham aspires to a greater level of precious. That a wife should be proud of her husband's precious and extra chumros. And so you don't have the right to make such a claim that that the husband is being unduly machmir. But says Rav Osner, that Chasam Sofer may be true, or at least the Chasam Sofer only said that in the context of a questionable shape, a mara that could have gone either way. So the Chacham paskin that it was mara tahor, but it was a borderline, so you could have been machmir on that as well. So then, if a husband wants to be noe krishos and be machmir, Chasam Sofer says that's okay. If he's the type of person who at least was on that trajectory, a Talmid Chacham who is developing towards a higher level of preaching. But says Rav Osner, even if you accept that Chasam Sofer, that's only true when it comes to a shade of a marav. When it comes to Pachas Mikagris, so Pachas Mikagris is an absolute karva, Chazal were matir or any kasam Pachas Mikagris, and then you don't have the right to be machmir on yourself and say, I want to be more machmir than Chazal, and treat my wife as Tameya if she sees a kasam Pachas Mikagris. Rav Osner does say, consistent with what we quoted from him in the past and will continue, that if it's Pachos, if it's more than the Shir Macholos Shel Zmanenu, so then maybe there's what to be machmir about. Like we quoted from the Lechem Esimla, that Macholos Shel Zmanenu, there's what for Baal Nefesh to be machmir on himself if the size of the Kesem is less than a Gris, but more than the Shir Macholos Shel Zmanenu, which we said is maybe 4 or 5 millimeter max, or maybe a drop more with the Hispashtus. But less than that, Rav Osner thinks no one would argue that he have the right to be machmir. So that we assume is a karva. Pachas mikagris is karva of Chazal. If you have a kasam pachas mikagris, then that is not problematic. We'll come back a little bit later to discuss there may still be some applications of being choshish for a kasam pachas mikagris. Rav Avadia writes on page Shin Ayin Beis. He quotes that the Ben Ishchai wrote that there are places where the minhag that was that women would be machmir even with a kasam pachas mikagris. And Rav Avadia writes that that's an incorrect minhag, and you should tell everyone that if anyone has such a minhag, that's shelo baras and chachamim. And he writes that that chumrah, to the extent that there were Sephardi communities that were knowing to be machmir on a kasam pachas mikagris, that stemmed from laziness and the fact that women didn't want to ask a shayla. And Rav Avadia says that should be very forcefully gotten rid of. That's an inappropriate minhag. And then he quotes that this was one thing that he gives Ashkenazim more credit for than Sephardim, that Ashkenazim would publicize Hilchos Taras HaMishpach and Hilchos Nida to the masses so that the woman would know what's a shayla, when to ask a shayla, and not be afraid to ask shaylas. By the Spartan, there was more reticence to do that, and that led to women being unduly machmir on themselves, even if something was black and white lekula. The women weren't aware, weren't told, and then these practices developed of being unnecessarily and inappropriately machmir. So Rav Avadia very forcefully writes against that. Okay. The din of pishpish may be different, however, than the din of macholas. So the Hemshech of Gemara that we started last time on Minchas on the Beis. So we had the three way machlokas tanayim as to whether you could only be tola b'harga, you could even be tola below harga, or can you only be tola below harga if it's up to a gris. So then the Gemara says, according to the Rabbanan, that you could be tola even shaloh harga, it sounds like even more than a gris, ad kama. So is there an upper limit beyond which even the chacham would agree you can't be tola? Amram nachamar yitzak tola v'pishvesh v'ad kitormus. The pishvesh we translate as a bed bug. So if you could be tola on a bed bug up to the size of a tormus, which is a bigger size bean than a gris, a lupai bean, whatever that is, if you look, if that's what the right translation is, so it's a little bit of a bigger bean than the shear of a grist. And then the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Pishvish, Zeh, so this bed bug, or Kol Perachbo, the time of Karecho, Briskusala, Shikola, Mololo, Mariachbo, fine. So the Beis Yosef here explains in Sif Zayin that the simple reading of the Gemara seems to be that according to Rav Chanina ben Antignos, who says that you could be told that up to a gris, even lo harga, so then pishpish isn't part of the equation. The Gemara is only asking the question of ad kamatola according to the shita svachamim. According to the middle position, Chanina ben Antignos, that you could be told up to a gris lo harga, so there's no allowance for being tola beyond or above the sheer gris. However, that's how the Beis Yosef writes, that's the simple understanding of the Gemara. However, the Rush writes in Siman Vav, ad kama he told that. So the Rush writes, halacha k'rib chanina ben Antignos. It's about the halfway into Siman Vav. Halacha k'rib chanina ben Antignos. The bein harga bein lo harga tola akigris. Fine. The low plug rabbanon bein harga harbe la harga ma'at la olam einotole v'yoser mikigris. So even if you could conceive a situation where you're killing multiple macholuses that could yield a larger amount of blood than a gris, but the nature of the takana is still, we only go based on the gris. The afal pi de'ein halacha k'rabbanan, even though we don't paskin like the rabbanan, miu im harga pishvesh im emicha recho tola ad k'tormos. So how do you ask a big summit? Ava mistama lo tilinan bei mishum de lo shtiyah. So the Rav says, it's true that the chachamim have a larger allowance of being tola bepishvesh, but even Chanina ben Antignos would agree that if you actually have a pishvesh, so then you can be tola ad ketormis. According to Chachamim, you can be tola ad ketormis even without a pishvesh, and according to Chanina ben Antignos, if you know you have a pishvesh there, so then that's a classic taliyah. That's not an absolute kulas ksamim apachas mikigris. This is a generic kind of taliyah. If you have the source to which you can attribute the dam lefanenu, so then you can be tola on that source. So if you have a pishvesh lefanenu, then you can be tola dam up to the size of a tormos on a pishvesh. So that's what the Rush writes, that there's resonance of this din of pishvesh in a limited context, even according to Chacham. The difference being that gris is a absolute carve-out, and pishvesh is a generic tliya. Then the Beis Yosef points out the Rashba. Rashba is on Tesvav and Mubeis in our printing of the Taras Abayis, in the Taras Abayis HaKatzar on Tesvav and Mubeis. So there the Rashba writes, b'makom shatormas matzoi, shatpishvesh matzoi, if you're in a place that has bed bugs around, then you could be tole up to a tormas. So that sounds like, even if you don't have a pishvesh lefanenu, if it's in a makom where pishveshim are around, even if you don't see the bed bug on your bed, you still have the right to be tola up to a tormas, meaning even if lo harga, even without a pishvesh lefanenu, just like you can be tola on a macholes, even if you don't have a macholes lefanecha. So that's a third possibility here, that even without a tormas lefanenu, even according to Chachamim, even without a pishvesh lefanenu, even according to Chachamim, if it's a makom, the shtichi pishveshim, then you could be tola on a pishvesh. It's worth noting, now the way the Rashba says in Torah Sabayis HaKatzar is that this is only true if it's in a place where a pishvesh is matzai. Mekomos yesh, sherachach, ha-pishvesh matzai behem, 2/3 of the way down on Tesvav and Beis in our printing of the Taras Abayis HaKatzar. However, if you look in the Chidushei Rashba here, Dear Maskal and Rav Nachman, it's worth noting, Lashon the Chidushei Rashba is Bechol Makom, Afal Pisha Eina Pish Mishmatzoi, Tola Ba'ad Ketormas, the Afal Pishu Shir Gadol Mikagris. So that's saying, even if there's no pishmish matzoi, you still have the right to be tola ad ketormas, even though that's bigger than a gris. Meaning, even according to the chachamim of Rabbi Chanina ben Atignos, there's this line the Rashba sounds like he read, that the ability to be tola bid pishmish ad ketormas is true even according to chachamim, and even according to Chanina ben Atignos, and even in a place where lo matzoi. Pishvishim. Yeah.
That was machlokas between Chachamim or Hanina.
According to that, when the Gemara says ad kama tola, so then that's minimizing the machlokas. That even Chanina ben Atignos will then agree. Right, so then it comes out that there is no machlokas. Right, even Chanina ben Atignos will agree that you can be tola on a pishrish even makom shelo matzi pishrishim. Yes, that sounds like Rav Nachman agrees. According to Rav Nachman, there's no machlokas. The Chachamim and Rav Chanina ben Atignos. The Gemara initially assumed, and Rav Shimon Gamliel assumed, that there was a machlokas. And then Rav Nachman comes along and says that, in essence, there's no machlokas in that Nekuda, right? I think that's what the Rashba would have to say. You can take a look again inside. That's what it sounds like. But that's it's different than what he writes in Taras Abayis. According to Taras Abayis, there's still three clear days from tonight. Yeah. Okay. But the Magen Mishnah points out in Perek Tes Halacha Kaf Gimel that the Rambam and the Ramban in his halachos make no mention of the din of pishvesh. So the Magen Mishnah says, maybe they assume, so you could have said that they assume, like the simple in the Gemara, that pishvesh is of no relevance to the Chanina ben Atignos, who we paskin like, even if it's the makom dematzoi pishvishim. Or that, like the Rush, if it's a makom dematzoi pishvishim, then you have the right to be tola on a pishvishim if it's lefaneinu, but then that's a generic taliya. You don't necessarily have to quote that lahalacha, because that's just a regular taliya. But the Magen Mishnah says, maybe the Rambam and the Ramban don't mention the pishvish, because they hold, in theory, it's only relevant if you actually, if there's a pishvish that you might, if there's a pishvish around and you missed it, and the question is, could you be tola on a pishvish that's matzoi even if you don't see it? And the Magen Mishnah says maybe that's impossible, because as the Gemara says, the pishvish has a certain distinct smell, so it would be impossible that you could have a hargavel of a daita situation that you could have killed the pishvish and I realized it, because if there was a pishvish there, you know. He thinks maybe that's why the Rambam in principle maybe would agree that in theory you could be tola on a pishvish if it's a makom that pishvishim or matzoi, you just don't see it. But in practice, that's not a realistic scenario, because if there was a pishvish, you know about it. If you don't know about it, it means there wasn't a pishvish. Lahalacha, the Mechaber writes in Sif Zayin, im harga pishvish, hiricha recho, tolabo a ketormos. That if you kill the pishvesh, or you smell the pishvesh, meaning it's there, then you have the right to be tole ad ketormos. Says the Shach, Tzavkati Nid Aleph, Das HaRashba, Dimukomo Shapishpesh Rarachash Mitsuyin, Tolim Bakitormos, Afvishalo Harga. That's what we saw in the Rashba in Torah Tzavayis. Babach Pasuk Deloka Vasei, Mishom Darashva Tor Losfir Lehachi. That's what we saw in the Rash, that you could only be Tola if you actually see the machola that you killed it. Veina mukrach. Da filu ya perish divi arash, ki perish hasheni shikasa bezosev. So even if that's the case, that according to the Rush, the only time you can be tola is where you actually killed it and know about it. Mikol makom, efshar delinyin asvara, modin dehecha shu matzoi tolin bo. Below Diva Rizet. But maybe you would agree in theory that in a place where it is Matzoi, maybe he'd agree to the Rashba. And he's not talking about such a scenario. And then he says, Rebbeinu Yerucham, Samim Shalman Lahakel. So maybe there's what to be makel about if it's in a makom shematsoi pishpishim, even if you don't see a pishpish. So maybe there's what to be makel about lalacha more than the kula of the mechaber, based on the Rashba. He thinks maybe the Rashba in theory could agree to the Rashba. Okay. That's a din of pishpish. So let's discuss now. Yeah.
Is it dafka pishpish? I would say there would be other types of bugs that are common.
Good question. So let's hold off on that for a couple minutes, and we'll come back to that shortly. Okay. Great. So let's discuss other potential nafkamina to the question as to whether the Pachas Mikigris carve-out is an absolute carve-out or a more generic Taliyah. The fact that we view Pachas Mikigris as a kula that you have the right to rely on, even absent a Macholas Lefanenu, even if there's no reasonable chance that the woman actually killed the macholas, even to rely on the sheer gris of Chazal, which is more than the sheer macholas bismanin. So we had mentioned last time the classic question as to a situation where you have dam bekein vade migufa pachas mikigris, and the machlokas of the nosa kelim on the page, and in the beginning of simin kuf pei gimel. But there are other potential nafkamina to this question as well. The Ravid writes in the end of Shar Haksamim that if you have a black kesem, pachas mikigris, that you should be makmer that. That's what the Rikiv Eger quotes over here on the page. Anatolah lomar b'maris shachor t'meya apachos mikigris balei nefesh. That the kula pachas mikigris only applies if it's a red mara, but if it's a black mara, then you can't be told even pachas mikigris, presumably because you can't attribute a black mara to a macholas. A macholas would only, if you squish a macholas, you're going to see red blood. And if what you're seeing is black, you can't attribute that to a macholas. Even though the reason that shachor is a mara tame is because it started out as dam shalaka. But if you squish the machola, so then that's, you wouldn't have a scenario where that red turned black. That's only Dam shalak is only if it's internal blood, not macholas blood. So if you see a Mara Shachar, the Ravid assumes there's no way in the world you can be told of that on a macholas, and therefore there's no kula of hachos mikigris. Sidrei Tara in Sivkatan Samach Aleph and Sivkatan Yud notes that even though Rabbi Akiva Eiger brought this Ravid onto the page, but that's the closest that we get to seeing this halacha. It doesn't appear in the Rambam, doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. He says maybe that's because this should have to do with our broader question that if there's no gzeira on a kesem pachas mikigris, then that applies across the board, even to a mara shachor, even if you can't directly attribute that mara shachor to a macholas. The Sidrei Tara himself is machmir on this, as he thinks that just like the Sidrei Tara is machmir on pachas mikigris vada nibiv sarah, he's also machmir on this, that maybe he thinks lemaisa, you only have the right to be mekel kulas ksamim if there's a reasonable tliya. But in the presentation, what emerges is that to the extent that this isn't quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that may well be because of the perspective that pachas mikigris is an absolute carve-out, even if it can't be directly attributed to a macholas. Okay. Ramosha writes in Yoredea Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Membeis, Yoredea Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Membeis Os Dalid, that even the Sidrei Tara himself acknowledges, because Gabe's question, that if you're in a place where you have black flies, piroshim, or black bugs that could be squished or squashed and yield the black residue or black appearance from squishing it, so then you have the right to be tola on such a bug. Even the Sidrei Tara acknowledges that. And Rav Moshe thinks maybe the Ravid was chozer from his position because there's no such hasag on the Rambam. So that's bigger question, to what extent do you ever have the right to assume that the Ravid was closer in a position from one of his other chiburim because he wasn't masig on the Rambam? But at least Rav Moshe raises that question. But whether or not the Ravid was closer, there's no hard evidence that he was, but at least most other Rishonim don't have this position. And the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this Nekuda Lalacha, that the whole discussion of whether the Ravid should be accepted isn't lemaisa, because he says where we live there are plenty of black bugs that you could squish and get a black residue. So even the Sidrei Tara would agree, and everyone should agree, that Bizmanenu in turn of the last century in Novartic, and presumably in where we live also, there are black flies and bugs, so one presumably could get a black residue from squishing a black bug.
Yeah. Are the two ideas mutually exclusive, or like the one about absolute carve out? That would be like they agree that you can do general tzlios when you can make those assumptions, but we also hold that you can assume at least the gris is an absolute carve out. Like, or no, the ones that assumes like less than a gris, then like, or a gris is the absolute carve out, like that's that, and then even when you can make certain assumptions, we don't make those assumptions.
You could say that even if you could entertain that even if gris is an absolute carve out, it still only applies within certain parameters. But so these hesberim not necessarily b'achreiach, but they may still be reasonable to have a if your perspective is that it's a absolute carve-out, so it's a lot easier to just extend that as a low plug across the board. It's not b'achreiach, but that still follows reasonably. Going.
Just practically, where are we seeing these maros?
So, for now, we're talking about a mara and a beged. We're not talking about al-Basara yet. So, our whole conversation so far, until we get a little bit further, is al-Chalukah. So, you see a kesem pachas mikigris on a garment.
Right. Would we assume if we only saw it on the outside, that it came from outside, even if it's larger than a gris?
So if you're talking about an outside meeting on an outer garment?
Yeah, I'm meaning I'm going Bisman Shelahem where they just wore the, you know, robes or whatever it was. Like, if it didn't seep through whatever material they were wearing, would we have any reason to assume that it's considered a Mara or only when, like...
No, so it's still... there are the distinctions in the Mishnayos and the Gemara between if you see a Mara in a situation, in a place... where it could have come Igufa as opposed to where it couldn't have come Igufa. But as far as the... Are you asking Lekula or are you asking Lechumra?
Lekula.
You're saying if you have something that is Yoser Mikagris, so then you fall back on the regular Taliya questions. It's if it's in a place where there's no way in the world that it could have come from the Sarah, but you know, in most situations on... if you see it on a beged, so again, those are scenarios that a beged could have flipped, it could have moved, it could have, in most situations on a beged, it's conceivable that it might have come be gufa through some kind of turning or moving something of that sort.
Okay. And the mizvana is that, like, if it was on her pants, let's say, skirts, right? So, like, but it wasn't on her underwear, so then we're just going to assume that that was completely external, or...
Not necessarily, because maybe something could have seeped or could have. You still have to deal with that through the prism of ksamim, and again, if there's a tliya, meaning if you could,
right.
So then there's a whole laundry list of tliyas. But absent that, you still have to work with the parameters of ksamim.
Okay.
According to our motion in Arsa Shulchan that we take into account the bugs that we have,
right.
Manenu, shouldn't the shear have to correspond to that also? So it could have been a spider or a cricket or a cockroach or whatever.
So if you have a bug that's larger than a macholas and you know that there's a bug there, so then that's a generic tliya. But if you don't know that there's a bug there, so the ability to be told without a macholas afanenu or without below harga, that's only with the... explicit carve out of gris. So the Badei HaShulchan, again, in most places that we live, I believe that there are black flies around. Badei HaShulchan writes in Sivkat Mem Zayin that if you're in a place where there are no black flies, that he thinks he should be machmir like the Ravid on a kesem that is black. And the Sefer Chok Uzman, so he quotes a maisa from the Debrit Siner, that the Debrit Siner was spending a summer in the country with the Papa Bezdin, Rabbi Yossi Greenwald, the Mechaber Priyan Yosef. And the Papa Bezdin, one day learning in the mountains, closed his Gemara on a cockroach and didn't realize that there was a cockroach there until the next day when he opened his Gemara again and saw a dead cockroach. And he said, you see that if you're in the mountains, you can be makel on a kesem shachor. Because he saw firsthand that there are black bugs in the mountains. Okay, yeah.
So the idea of being machmir is generally
kubal
or no?
Machmir on what, on black?
On black, yeah.
I don't think so. I think we would be makel on black if it's pachlas mikigris. Number one, because the Ravid is a minority position. And number two, that Sidney Tyra says even the Ravid would agree if you're in a Makam Shematsoi Piroshim that you could be Mekel. And I believe that we're in a Makam Shematsoi Piroshim, at least as much as any other bug, right? We all see flies that are black. Okay. Good. Fine. So the next possible detail that falls into this framework is a question of a kesem that's pachos mikagris, but has a thickness to it. A kesem of that's pachos mikagris, where you may argue that the volume, even though the kesem is pachos mikagris, but the volume of blood contained therein is larger than the volume that could be attributed even to the macholes of Chazal. So the Piskei Tshuva in Sifkatan Tess quotes from the Sidrei Torah. Sidrei Torah Samach Aleph, they were quoting before. This is the end of Sifkatan Tess. The Ayin of Sidrei Torah Shigam Huzal Chakar Bezeh Im Adam Nitzrar B'makom Echad Eich Misharin. So how do you evaluate the shear if you have a concentration of dam in an area? Im Kamoshu Ata Shupachas Mikigris Otzvicha Mahakmir L'Shair Kamoshu Ayim Ispashe Kitseva Ba'alma Vayosu Mikigris Etmeya. So you have a concentrated kesem, which if it would spread through the normal hispashtus, would end up being more than a gris, but right now it's concentrated in an area less than a gris. The kasuv of Nirali, de'enon ezvichon l'shar rak kamoth shaval lefaneinu, vodin ipcha, hecha shaval lefaneinu kesem, re'inu shagufa kesem pachos mikigris, rak seviva hu hispashtus l'chlucho, shalgufa kesem, shenitztava migufa kesem, afilu hachi temeya. The kachu means l'chama l'pluk. So the entire thing, he thinks that it should all, you should consistently just deal with the kesem lifaneinu. So if it's all concentrated in an area of pachas mikigris, you can be mako. And if you have a kesem that's nispashet, where the color spread, but you could tell that it started pachas mikigris, but then it spread to an area that's more than a gris, then he says you should be machmir. Because kachu midos chachamim b'lo pluk, kind of b'lo nitnu derei l'shiurim, that you have to just deal with the barometer of a gris, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. Then he says, miu yesh lomar da kol l'firos eine amore, then he backs away from that and says, maybe that's not true. Maybe you still should be machmir if it's a large concentration of dam. So this kind of, in the Sidrei Torah, as we saw, consistently is of the opinion, l'chumra, that you have to have a reasonable plea even when it comes to pachas mikigris. To the extent that he entertains being makel over here, even though the antithesis maybe should be makel, to the extent that he entertains being makel, it sounds like that's because when it comes to defining the shear in a narrow way, so then you have this kind of loninu acham shear l'dvrayim, dvrayim l'shearim, that you can only deal with the gris lefaneinu. But then he says maybe even that's not true. Maybe you'd have to be machmir on a kesem that's thick. Aruch HaShulchan is Mako. Aruch HaShulchan in Oth Slamadalid says that's how Chazal work. Lo ninu chacham adreim l'shiurim. V'amafakbik v'zeh eino ela min ha-masmiyim. And don't question this yesod. A gris is a gris. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. Badi HaShulchan in the Be'urim on page Kuf Nun Zayin quotes this from the Lecha Misimla as well, that if you have a kesem that's thick, though you just have to evaluate it based on the presentation, and you don't have to be choshesh for a hispashkus that would spread it over an area, yoser mikigris. Asher.
What would be the, like, the assumption that we should take that into account in either direction? Like, is it in the Gemara somewhere that we, or like, because how does the Gemara present it? The Gemara, it doesn't seem that the Gemara presents it in a way that we care about this spreading.
Well, the original, the Shir Gris is based on a Macholos, even if it's a Macholos of Chazal, and even if we pass in a Filu Loharga, but it's based on the volume of blood that a Macholos will yield. So if you have a concentration of blood, and you could tell that this is more than the blood that a Macholos will yield, because if it's Nisfashit, it's going to be more than a Gris, so maybe then you should be Machmir.
We're saying that, so.
So, Lemaisa, again, if you were to assume that that Pachas Bikigris is a generic Taliyah, so then there's more reason to be Machmer in that. But as in all the scenarios we've discussed so far, the consensus orientation is Lekula. Okay. Next application is that of Suffolk. So the Chachma Sadam writes in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Os Kaftes. Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Os Kaftes. That let's say you had a kasem, and then you lose the beged that the kasem's on. The beged disappeared, and you have no way of knowing whether the kasem, you weren't able to measure it yet. You have no way of knowing whether the kasem that disappeared was a sheer gris. So the Chachma Sadam assumes that this should be a generic Sveika Derabbanan Lekula. And if there's no way of being Mevarer one way or another, whether to have a Shear Gris, then you could be Mekel. Samishu Derabbanan Azlinan Lekula, says the Chachma Sadam. Badia Shulchan Biurim Page Kuf Nun Zayin quotes many Achronim that are make like the Chachma Sadam. Among them, the Divrei Malkiel, the Lam Jerav, Chelik Dalit Simon Samach Zayin, Chelik Dalit Simon Samach Zayin, where the Divrei Malkiel writes, number one is the Sveika Derabbanan, and number two, she has a Cheskes Hara. So it's not just relying on the Sveika Derabbanan in a vacuum, but she also has a Cheskes Hara. So there's no way of being Mavar the size of the Kesem, you have the right to be Mekel. However, the Baalei Shulchan says, maybe it should be Machmir, because when it comes to Tlios, you can't be Mekel on a Safek Tlia. Tlia only works if there's something that you could attribute the Mara too, the Kesem too. But if there's a suffix, whether there's something you could attribute it to, so when it comes to generic Tlios, that doesn't help. You have to have a clear attribution in order to invoke a Tlia. So maybe here too, if you know there was a Kesem and there's no way of being Mavar the size anymore because it got lost, maybe you have to be Machmir. Rabbi Karp on page Ayin Zayin notes this by the Shulchan and doesn't understand it because he says we assume that Pachas Mikigris is not a generic Taliyah. It's an absolute carve-out. So why are you invoking standards of generic Taliyahs when we're talking about Pachas Mikigris, which is a standalone Kula? And that is the Hachra on that Nakuda, that in a legitimate Safek you have the right to be Mako, Sveka Derabbanan, Cheskas Tara. Okay. Major Machlokas Rishonim, whether the Kula of Pachas Mikigris only applies Al Digda, or does it apply Al Bisara as well? So this is 2 days in Shulchan Aruch and Sifav. Hadabiyin and Shi'ura Bein Bekesem and Nimsa Al Chalukah. Vein b'chesa nimsa al b'sara. So the requirement of a shear applies equally to a kesem on a garment as a kesem on her skin. Yesh omrim shelo amru ela b'kesem nimsa al chaluka. Aval kesem nimsa al b'sara b'uvad b'mkomos shechoshishin lehen ein lo shear. And even a tiny amount of dam, al-bisara, would make the woman temeya. So these 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, in Machlokas Rambam Ravid, Perek Tes Halach Vav, the Rambam writes, Ma bin kesem enimsa al-bisara, le kesem enimsa al-bigadeha, sha kesem enimsa al-bisara, ein lo shir, etc. Kilki. Says the Ravid, the Rambam says no difference b'sarah or b'gadeha. I'm sorry, the Rambam says kesem enimsa al b'sarah ein lo shir, as opposed to al b'gadeha, where there's a shir of gris. Says the Ravid, Amar Avraham, ein zeh mechuver. Shirei shel Rabbi Yirmiyah, al kesem sheh b'sarah Tipin Mahu. So we'll come back to this in a little bit. But he asks from Rabbi Yirmiyah Shaila Anun Ches, what's the din of a kesem on her flesh, tipin, which the Ravid understands. We'll see this is itself Machlokas Rishonim, but the Ravid understands the Shaila of tipin as a Shaila of Histarfus, that if you have disparate drops that together would form a gris, what's the status? Then Elo Shir Mashal. But if it's the case that even a single tipa is going to make her Tameya, then what's the Shail of tipa? The Ode, Kibiderech Echa Nishnu B'Mishna, Chaluk Lamata Bin Achagor, Ubisara Kenegabesa Torfa, Gakulin Amru Tola B'Chaldavar. So the Mishnah lumps together, at least deals with both a kesem al b'sara, a kesem al b'gadeha, and then that's all modified by tola b'chol davar. So, oh, shekaru kesem. Im kedvar, she'en esricha shir, afi t'meya, umone me'osa shah, ve'en okay. So the fact that we refer to this as a kesem sounds like it has to have the kula, the modification of kesem, and at least a minimum shear. So first let's address the Rambam. So the Rambam says there is this distinction between al-bisara and al-bigadeha as far as shear. Says the Avos Maimonides here, Os Aleph, Aval Ramban in Hilchos Nida Kasav, Shagam Kasav Animsa al-bisara ena matame yachia kigris, like the Ravid. Rabbeinu Simcha Kasav Gedibri Mechaber, like the Rambam. Shafilu pachas migain chardel tumeya. Why? Shakola guf kibadaku eisal damacholas. That the a woman's body is considered to be baduk relative to damacholas. Meaning to say that there's no way that you could be tole a kesem al basara on a macholas, because it's not matzoi that you'd have a macholas al bisara, if you don't know about it. And when it comes to bigadeha, so then you could have a macholes flying around, and you wouldn't necessarily be aware of it, and it might have gotten crushed on your baguette. But that's not reasonable when it comes to bisara, that we assume there's no macholes that we don't know about that's hanging out al bisara. Says the Magen Mishnah here, what about the Ravid Kasha? The Ravid asked from Rav Yirmiyah the Shaila of tipin. Don't you see from there that even Pachos Mikigris is going to be Tame al Bisara? It says the Magen Mishnah, Vein Zukusha. To Rabbi Yirmiyah, lav l'itztarufe kabai. So the shaila of Rabbi Yirmiyah was not a shaila of itztarfus the way the Rambam understood. It wasn't a shaila if you have disparate tipin of blood that together add up to a gris, is that tame? That wasn't a shayla. Elalomar im tsurasa mochachas aleihem she'ein amigufa. The shayla has nothing to do with the tzarfus. It's if you see al bisara dam in the formation of tipin, maybe that's an indication that it didn't come migufa. Imi gufa havale l'ashkuchinu l'ashkuchinu chiyagavna oldilma loshna. So do we say that, no, if you see that formation of tipin tipin, it's an indication it didn't come ibisara, because if it came ibisara, that's a flow. The dam flows out, and it would be a single or a more uniform kesa. The fact that there are disparate dots, maybe that's an indication that it didn't come ibisara, or maybe not. And he says, what's compelling about that understanding of the Shaila was that there are two issues of tipin tipin in this parak. On Daf Nun Ches, you have that Shaila of Rabbi Yirmiyah halfway down, Kishir Mahu, Kishur Mahu, tipin tipin Mahu. And then at the very end of the parak, on Daf Nun Tesem and Aleph, towards the bottom, the Gemara says, tipin tipin Eimer Sarfin. So that's clearly about Istarfus. If that's about Istarfus, then presumably Yirmiyah is asking a different question. He's not asking about Istarfus, he's asking something else. And the Magen Mishnah suggests that that's something else is whether the formation of Tipin Tipin is an indication that it didn't come mi gufa. And that approach is explicit in Chidushei Aran. I'm sorry. We'll get there in a second. That's how the Magen Mishnah understood the Rambam. That Rav Yirmiyah on Daf Nun Ches is asking a different shaila than the Tzarfus on Daf Nun Tes. And that's why the Raivas Kasha is not a Kasha Ad for the Rambam. So then the Rambam will understand, as Hagos Maimon is Kosim Beinu Simcha, that there's no reasonable chance that Macholos would just appear, Al Bisara, that a woman would know about. And therefore, the whole Kula of Gris, Pachas Miki Gris, is only said Al Chaluka and not Al Bisara. And there's no right from Tipin Tipin because the Shaila of Tipin Tipin has nothing to do with Hidstarfus. And then that din of tipin tipin, Gemara Daf Nun Tes, that's going on the din of the Mishnah, Mechasim Beis, Eichu Nasun Tachas Akar. So what's the status of that presentation of Dam Tachas Akar? And there, tipin tipin, are a mitzarfin. And the writer presumably will say that that Gemara and Daf Nun Tes is taught. One second. Right, and that's, so if you look in the Rambam, in the Lachates, of the second din of Tipin Tipin, Hakasa Hanimsal the Sara Shaya Ara Kirtsuo Ogol Oshia Tipin Tipin Oshahaya Ora Hakasa Malrocha Girecha Oshia Nira Kiluhu Matam Mimatalamala Holu Kanega Besa Torah Reza Tmeya Ben Omrim Ilu Natav Minaguf Loya Kazet. And that's the Shaila, maybe would have said that if the Dam came Migufa, then it wouldn't have this presentation. So that was the whole shaila of Tipin Tipin. Are we concerned that this presentation is indicative that the dam is not libisara? Okay, and the Rivas understanding that the Shaila of Tipin Tipin of Rabbi Yirmiyahu was the Shaila of Hitzdarfus, so that's explicit in the Chidushei Aran, and that's Nun Zayin Mibbeis. Al Bisara Migufa Asa. So if you see Dama of the Sarah, that's an indication that it came Migufa, because if it came the Alma, it should have been on the clothing. The fact that we have this indication on the Zion of Beis, towards the bottom, that Al Bisara is Migufa Asa, so that shows you, it's Mashma, that afil al bisara eina tmeya bikigris dilatema haki hefi amina di megufa asa di me alma asa chaluki baile yishtakuche va afshar shenir tefa macholes bibisara. So the fact that the Gemara says it must be if you see dam al bisara that it can be gufa, that there's no possibility of a macholes al bisara. Elavad imashma da filu bibisara kol hecha deleka bikigris va'od talinan bimacholes utahara. So it's mashma that afilu bibisara you can be tola anamacholes pachos mikigris. So again, the Gemara says the fact that it says al bisara is an indication that the dam is bigufa, because if it came me alma, it should have, you'd expect to see the dam on her clothing. And if it's the case that a kesem al bisara is tmeya even without a shear, so isn't it possible that it came me'alma and it's al b'sara because there's a macholes al b'sara? Again, al b'sara migufa asa. Di me'alma al chaluka yibayle lishtakuche. That's the Gemara. So midi avin and taima mashma da filu al b'sara Eina Tmeya Birke Gris. Dilatema Haki, Hefi Amina Dimigufa Asa, Dime Alma Asa Faluki by Lidish Sakuche, but after Shinirtsifa Macholes Bibisara, Alavade Mashra Fil Bibisara, Kolheka Delaka Birke Gris Vaod, Tlinin Bamacholes U Tahora. Okay. So the Gemara, so that Gemara of Yirmiya and Daf Nun Ches, so the Gemara asks, Bayuviriya, Kishir Mahu, Kishur Mahu, Tipin Tipin Mahu, Larocha Vyurecha Mahu. So Tosas writes, Kishura Mahu, Amari Dahainu Tipin Tipin. So the Shaila of Shura is where they're Tipin Tipin. The Imu Khuberas Ashura Yaha Dahainu Ritsua the Basama, because if they're connected, so that's a different Shaila of the Gemara. The tipin tipin hainu mu'arbavin. The point of tipin tipin is that they're mixed up. There's no uniform formation. She'enu lo kishir v'lo kishura. V'adarma l'kaman tipin tipin emes darfin hainu al habeget. V'hacha mairi al v'sara d'yesh yosir litlos v'dam acholos al habeget ne'al v'sara. So Tosa says two things. Number one, the Shaila of Kishura Mahu in Rabbi Yirmiya is they're tipin tipin, but they're not in any clear formation. They're all haphazard. And then the Shaila of tipin tipin is where there is some seder to it. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, what's the din if it's kashir? Kashir is in a circle. What's the din if it's kashura? So those are dots not in any seder. And tipin tipin are dots that are in a seder. And then the Gemara in the afternoon test of tipin tipin emes arfin, that's talking about al habeget. So the Shalom Dafkun Ches is talking about Al Bisara. And the Gemara Dafkun Ches is talking about Al Abeged. The Esh Yosher Litlos Vedam Acholes Al Abeged Me Al Bisara. So there's more reason to be Mekel when it comes to Dam Abeged than Al Bisara. So there's more of a reason to be Mekel by Tipin Tipin when it comes to a Abeged than when it comes to Bisara. So that also sounds like the Shaila is not one of its darfas per se. Actually, before that, let's look back to Tosos. Let's just take a look at the Rush for a moment in Siman Beis. Rush writes in Seven Bays, Kishura, Hainu Tipin, Asuyin Kishura, like Tosfos. I'm sorry. No, not like Tosfos. Kishura, Hainu Tipin, Asuyin Kishura, that's Tipin that are in a row. Dibelo Tipin, Hainu Kiritsua, Darmina Besamuch. Tipin Tipin, Hainu Asuyin Beshinun. Dilavachi, Lama Yesh Lestapik, the Tipin. So tipin is where there's no real seder to it, as opposed to shura, where there are tipin with a seder. Rashban Pirage Kishura Haino Harbishu is Kazah. Tipin Tipin Ikalafrusha Yasuyan Kishura O Kashir. Bahadar Mina Mashili Pirakan Tipin Tipin Emitarfin Haino Alabege. Dikalasfuke Bakol Tipa Vitipa Bidamacholas. So Adakna Tess, the Shaila is maybe each tipa alone could be attributed to Adamacholas. About Al Bisara Lo Tlinan Bidam Macholes, but Al Bisara, you can't be tola on Damacholes. Aladim Sapkinan, because Shir Bikashur, Vitipin Tipin, Mishum Dinafal, Meosa Makom, Lo Avidinafli Ki, Hai Gavna. So when it comes to Al Bigadeha, Tipin Tipin, so then you could argue, even if the sum total of the Tipin is more than a gris, but maybe each Tipa reflects a different Macholes. But when it comes to Al-Basara, you're not going to make that argument that there are all these Macholoses Al-Basara. So then the only question is, maybe the fact that it appears in this formation is an indication that it didn't come mi gufa. And that's why the Rush says of Rav Yirmiyahu's love of Shita. Ikad Amri l'hakel, ikad Amri l'chumra. So the way the Rush learns, and it could be, you can read Tosos in light of the Rush, is that the Shaila on Daf Nun Tess, or that Din of Emes Darfin, that's the Din of Emes Darfus, when it comes to Al Digadeha, that maybe you could view each Tipa as coming from a different Macholes, and even if the sum total is more than a Gris, that doesn't bother us, because there could be multiple Macholeses. But the Shaila on Daf Nun Ches is not a Hitzarfus Shaila, like the Rambam Alek Arayvit. It's a shaila of the formation that maybe the fact that it comes out of this funny formation is an indication that it didn't come mi gufa. Back to that Rush, the Divrei Chamudos writes in Oz Tesvav, and we'll wrap up shortly. Divrei Chamudos writes, Lashon HaTosfos HaKamayri Al Bisara Yesh Yoser Litlos B'dam HaCholos Alavega B'Al Bisara Akan Vika B'Nayu Lahani Trey Lishni. The Lashon HaTosfos Nihi Nami Yesh Yoser Litlos B'Al HaBeged. So Tosfos also says, like the Rush, that there's more of a reason to be tola alabega than albasara, mikal makom, the albasara tulina nami. Ala dahachalo tulinan, kevan shayinu tzvichem litlos baharbe kinem. So Tosis is lashon, was yesh yoser litlos bedamacholas alabega be albasara. So it sounds like there's more of a reason to be tola bedamacholas, but there's some reason to be tola Ala Begad as well. But if you have a sum total more than a gris, so then that's unlikely that you're going to be tole on multiple kinim al bisara. The Lashon Rabbeinu la'olam lo tlinan ba'al bisara. The Lashon Rush was al bisara lo tlinan, not yoser. Abisar lo tlinan bedama choles, period. Vafila bikina achas. Umikano kiafes dosef, svilela rabbeinu kisvara sa omen lakaman, de baal bisara ein shir lakesem. So the basosi things that the Rush holds like the Rambam, that there's no shir for kesem at all. Tosis' lashon was, yesh yosu litlas bedama choles alabagami albisara. Meaning you have the ability to be tola even by Al-Basara, just not to the same extent. So conceivably, Al-Basara, if you have a Kesem Pachos Mikagris, you could be tola. If you have multiple Kesem Pachos Mikagris, you're not going to be tola. But if you have a single Kesem, you will be tola. And according to the Rush, says the Divrei Chamudos, even a single Kesem Pachos Mikagris, you can be tola Al-Basara, like the Rambam. And the Shach doesn't go for that distinction. the Shachas of Katan Yod thinks that even according to Tosfos, that Tosfos also is like the Rambam, that you don't have the ability to be Tola al Visara, Halchas Mika Gris, at all. That's the Psak of the Shach Lahalacha in Sif Katan Yod, like the Rambam, because the Shach thinks the way he makes a calculation, Rovi Shon like the Rambam, he thinks Tosfos like the Rambam against the Divrei Chamuzas, his understanding of Tosfos. If you look in the Torah Sashlamim, the Sidri Tara also argues on the Shach's understanding of Tosfos, Sidri Tara in Sifkat and Yud Beis. Torah Sashlamim argues on the Shach in Sifkat and Tes. And Ramosha writes in O Zion of his Jewish Rabbi Eider, as does Rabbi Vadya, that the Minag is to be Mekel. This is not something that comes up terribly often, that you have a Kesem al Vesara, but Ramosha says the Minag is to be Mekel. In theory, if you have such a Shaila, that you're making on Pachos Mikigris al Besara as well. The Rav Avadya says it's a Stam Yesh Omrim in Shokanara Kalacha Kistan in Sivav. And Rabbi Karpos and Rav Yashiv was Mako. Rav Vosner, Lishitaso, anytime there's a Shiloh, Rav Vosner thinks that if it's Yoser, Mishir Machos Bizmanenu, you should be Machmir. Aruch HaShulchan raises another issue in Sif Lamed, that how are you going to ever be Mishayer the Shir anyway? He says, it makes sense, Shitas HaRambam makes sense, because number one, Kishamacholos Nismayich V'shtivasa V'shivasa V'nismayich HaLasadim HaWalachalok. If you how do you crush a louse? You crush it in bed. You crush it on a mattress. Crush it in your clothing. But how would you ever crush it on your body? And furthermore, how are you ever going to be Mishire the? How are you ever going to be Mishire it? Are you going to measure if it's al basar or whether it's a gris or not? That's hard to bring the shiloh to the rough to paskana. So the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that you should be machmir like the Rambam. But again, many of the later Achronim of the last generation thought that the minhag here is to be mekel. Again, it almost never comes up.
But why did it not come up?
I'm sorry?
How come it doesn't come up?
It doesn't come up in the Metzias. It's, you know, women, it doesn't.
Seems because, like, underwear?
That's one big reason. It doesn't. It's rare. Because anything's going to end up on the garment somewhere, as opposed to al basara.
It
could
be on basara, then to be makel, you would just.
So you'd have to depends where it is. You have to figure out how to measure it and replicate it and.
But you couldn't really get a rabbit on at that point.
I'm sorry?
You couldn't really get a rabbit on at that point.
Could, but figure out the practicality.
I think Rabbi Sobolowski said that you rely, like you have to rely on like what the woman.
Right.
He said mm-hmm. It happened like twice in like 20 years.
Yeah, it's rare. Okay, so let's stop here. Then we'll next time be mashlim a few more nekudas about these sigyas briefly, then we'll go on to the other kulas ksamim. I sent you Mar Makomos already the next sheet, so you should have what to work. But the plan is that we should get through Siman Kuf Tzadi before Yom Kippur Mirat Hashem. We're only going to spend real time through Sif Yud of Tzivonim and Inim HaKabal Tumah, and then the rest you should just go through, if you get that far, go through quickly just the balance of the Siman Mechabarim Shach Piskei Tshuva. We'll talk about a few highlights, but the plan is that the next couple shiurim we'll get through Tzivonim and Makabel Tumah, maybe three shiurim, and then try to wrap everything up together before Yom Kippur. The next shiurim, Hashem, will be Monday at 3. Okay.